Mark Golub, and in the news, controversy surrounding the Conference of Presidents and the selection of its next chairperson, a former president of HIAS, Diane Loeb. Now, not every American Jew knows what the Conference of Presidents is or does, and why its new chairperson should matter to anyone. Here on JBS, we've given a great deal of attention to the President Conference and its long-serving Executive Vice Chairman, Malcolm Hoenlein, whom you've seen countless times on JBS. You know, he's one of my favorite people and someone who's made an enormous impact for good on Jewish life and on U.S.-Israeli relations. The formal name of the President's Conference is the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations. And as such, it sees itself as a sort of umbrella organization of American Jewish life, claiming to represent American Jewry, which is really not what the conference is. While 53 of America's leading organizations are part of the conference, with the lay and professional leaderships of each organization making up the membership, the conference is not a deliberative body in which the members regularly gather to make policy. But the American administration in Washington has looked to the President's Conference as a sort of representative umbrella organization of American Jewry. And members of the conference have been invited to the White House whenever there's a sensitive issue of American foreign policy relating to the State of Israel. And under Malcolm Hoenlein's leadership, that's been the contribution the conference has made to Jewish life, not only with American administrations, but with governments of other countries, especially those in which Jews have faced problems. And of course, with the Israeli government, which sees the conference as one of the ways it speaks to American Jewry and the American administration. In essence, if AIPAC is the most visible and important Jewish institution when it comes to U.S.-Israeli relations, the President's Conference is seen by many as number two, even if it has nowhere the name recognition AIPAC has among American Jews. You should also understand that every 2 years, the conference chooses one of its members to serve as chairperson. Normally, this does not create any controversy in the general American Jewish community. Reform Rabbi Alex Schindler, for example, was chairman of the conference when Menachem Begin won a surprise victory as prime minister in 1977. And Alex Schindler had the job of introducing American Jewry to the man most American Jews only thought of as a terrorist. Other chairs of the conference have included Mort Zuckerman, Ronald Lauder, Shoshana Carden, June Walker, Alan Solo, Richard Stone, the immediate past chairman Steve Greenberg, and the current chair, Arthur Stark. And in most instances, a nominating subcommittee interviews candidates for the position and then unanimously recommends their choice to the conference as a whole, which typically ratifies the committee's recommendation. But this time, with the selection of Diane Loeb, a huge controversy has erupted, and the controversy has escalated into a fierce battle between the left and right in the Jewish community, mirroring the fiercely partisan left-right divide that's plaguing America as a whole. In short, the two squaring off in the ring are ZOA, the right-leaning groups aligned with the Zionist Organization of America, led by Mort Klein, and the left-leaning groups rallying around HIAS and supporting Diane Loeb. Well, one of American Jewry's leading journalists and columnists, Jonathan Tobin, who was the editor-in-chief of Commentary Magazine for 8 years, and now is editor-in-chief of JNS.org, the Jewish News Syndicate, which I hope you all receive in your email. It's one of the best sources of news and opinion on the American Jewish scene today. The JNS Jewish News Syndicate. Jonathan Tobin is now the person responsible for shaping and running JNS, and he's just published an explosive piece in Commentary Magazine, where he addresses the brouhaha that has erupted over Diane Loeb's selection as the incoming chairperson of the President's Conference. Here's how Jonathan Tobin describes the situation. Quote, what ordinarily would have been a routine changeover of lay leaders at the head of the conference turned into an ideological Donnybrook that put the future utility over the organization in jeopardy. Jonathan Tobin is suggesting that the future of the Conference of Presidents is now in jeopardy because of the furor over the selection of Diane Loeb as the next chair of the President's Conference. So what's the real issue? And who's making an issue? And should you care one way or the other? To give us insight into these questions, I'm pleased to welcome back to JBS, Jonathan Tobin. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us again, making time for us on JBS.
Well, thank you for having me on, Mark.
So, Jonathan, before we talk about who's upset about the selection of Diane Loeb, I want you to explain to our audience why people are concerned about the organization she represents, HIAS, and why people are concerned about Diane's qualifications.
Well, I think you've set up the issue very well in your opening, Mark, in that the conference has a rather unique spot in American Jewish life as the address for the pro-Israel community, not the public address, not the lobbying one. We know that's AIPAC. But the conference has been the kind of go-to organization for the White House, for the executive branch, and for foreign governments, as you noted. That means it has become sort of the preserve of the pro-Israel group, the pro-Israel branch of the pro-Israel world. And Diane Loeb, who is someone without a record in terms of pro-Israel advocacy, sort of parachuted into this as someone no one in the conference knew. And the fact is, no one knew anything bad about her, but also nothing about her her interest in Israel. And also because HIAS is itself sort of emblematic of the shift within the Jewish community. HIAS has, if we're talking about Yiddish, of yichus, you know, the Yiddish word described lineage. If anybody's got good yichus in terms of American Jewish history, it's HIAS. For over 130 years, HIAS was the address for Jewish immigrants coming from Eastern Europe or anywhere, there or from the former Soviet Union in the 80s and 90s, in the immediate past generation. It was the group that set them up when they got here, got them here, got their status, helped them survive in those difficult early years, taught them English. It's sort of an iconic Jewish organization.
Absolutely.
The thing is, though, is that since the early 90s, it ran out of Jewish clients. There has been no more mass Jewish immigration from anywhere on the globe into the United States after the, you know, whoever wanted to come from the former Soviet Union came. And so it had the choice of, you know, going out of business because there were no more Jewish refugees to serve, or to just concentrate on the business of serving any refugees, any immigrants. And it chose the latter. And it's done very well. Both in terms of as an advocate for immigrants from all over the world and as a, in essence, a federal subcontractor. It survives economically because of its business of helping to adjust the law to help refugees and immigrants from all over the world, but very few Jews these days. And as a result, that puts it very much opposed to the current administration in its orientation towards the whole issue of immigration and refugees. And it also is very much aligned on the political left. Now, that probably you could have always said that Hayas was a liberal Jewish organization, as most major Jewish organizations are liberal in their politics, but it is now very deeply allied with non-Jewish organizations, that whole coalition of the left, which is dedicated to supporting not merely immigration, but is part of the quote-unquote resistance to Trump.
By the way, you make a point in your piece. It changed its name. Explain what that's about.
Yes. Well, Hayas is an acronym for the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, which was what it was called since the 1880s, up until 2014, at which point, whether it was from a marketing consultant, as sometimes happens in Jewish groups, or just for the plain fact that they didn't think of themselves anymore as a Hebrew immigrant organization, and indeed it wasn't. Their client base was no longer Jewish. So they just are known now by that acronym, Hayas. Forget about the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Association. So more than symbolic, it was, you know, really a sign of where they were.
Yes. Also quote their new motto.
Yes. Their motto is about embracing the stranger, embracing refugees, embracing immigrants. It is in the current, you know, in the context of the 1890s and the early part of the 20th century, that would have been considered very par, very, you know, nothing extraordinary there. But in 2020, with immigration such a divisive issue, it's obviously a political stance. And they're certainly entitled to that. But there's one more point. Hayas has no leader of Hayas, you know, and you were rattling off some of the names of really distinguished Jewish leaders who have headed the conference. There's never been anybody from Hayas, because Hayas hasn't been in the business, even when it was Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. It wasn't in the business of pro-Israel advocacy. It's not anti-Israel. It has an Israel office, but its business there is aiding immigrants, non-Jewish immigrants, coming into Israel, because there are other organizations that help the Jews who make Aliyah.
You also made one more point in your piece about a decision of Hayas that was made by Mark Hetfield, the CEO, and that also has been part of the image that Hayas now has. Can you speak for one moment about the 2017 letter that Hetfield basically signed?
Yeah, this is, I referenced a moment ago the idea of that they were allied with the anti-Trump resistance. And the great indicator of that was when the CEO of Hayas signed a letter backing Linda Sarsour, the Palestinian American activist, was one of the leaders of the Women's March, the key anti-Trump resistance group, who was also known for her flagrant anti-Zionism and also arguably her anti-Semitism. She has become really one of the sore spots in terms of opponents of Israel in this country. And for Hayas to basically endorse her, to back her up against the criticisms of the pro-Israel world was an interesting decision, but it also cast a shadow over Diane Loeb's nomination to lead the conference, since, you know, the people on the right said, wait a minute, how can an organization that is allied with Israel's enemies be the person leading, being the group that is supplying the leader for the pro-Israel community? And that's where we started with this controversy.
Yes. Now, one more thing. You're describing now Hayas. You made reference to, but I want you to develop it just a little bit more. Nobody has a bad word to say about Diane Loeb personally. What is said is, she knows nothing about the Israeli scene. It hasn't been her world. And as opposed to the other organizations that are part of the conference, all of them are in one way or another engaged in supporting Israel, and their leadership knows how to get around Israel, knows the players, knows everything about the issues. The criticism of Diane, which you sort of touched on, and I want you to develop it a little bit more, was saying nothing about her as a person. By the way, she claims she's moderate. But she comes out of Hayez, which, as you've just described, leans pretty far left. In your piece, you reference the fact that Saussure was a supporter of Farrakhan. This is not, Saussure's really, you describe it, really bad from a Jewish perspective. Diane may not be aligned with that, but one of the things that she's criticized for is she comes with no context or connection to Israel and that part of Jewish life. Speak to that for one moment.
Yeah, that's the odd thing about this. Now, I spoke to a lot of people trying to find out more about her, and I didn't hear anybody say a bad word about her.
Right,
right. Very clear. The people who work with her, and you know, she's a Wall Street executive, in the world of high finance. The people who work with her within her firm, all say that they consider her a centrist. Again, no one said anything bad about her. There's no history of her signing any anti-Israel petitions herself. Had there been, then I think this would have quickly gone away. But the truth is, she's also as a blank slate as far as Israel. She has no real experience working in the pro-Israel world, dealing with Israelis. Had she come from an organization that was known for its advocacy for Israel, this might not have been such a major issue. But combined with Hayez's really political stance, its lack of any record of his pro-Israel advocacy, this cast a pall over her nomination. The fact that the committee that was choosing the nominee chose her was a big surprise pretty much to everybody. And you mentioned Malcolm Holmline, the man who made the conference into a major force in American Jewish life. He says he had nothing to do with it. His successor, William Daroff, who's just come in the last year, he said he had nothing to do with it either, that the committee acted on its own. But nevertheless, she has no real record.
Right.
And that gave the opening to people who have who really question whether anybody from Hayez should be leading the conference to jump in.
Okay. I was going to say to you, I believe in your piece, you suggest that Daroff wants to move the conference toward the left or be more conciliatory to the left. There have been issues in the conference of late. Maybe we'll get to them. I don't want to get to them yet. But you write about the issue of J Street and the conference not allowing J Street to enter. I mean, it is a complicated issue, and you address it brilliantly, Jonathan, in your piece, which is why I'm so glad you gave us some time. You're giving us some time. But the issue has suddenly become Mort Klein's a bad guy because he basically points out only what you're pointing out. He's not ever gone after Diane personally. By the way, our audience should know we invited Diane to be on. We have extended an invitation to her. It's an open invitation. At the moment, her office says, as a chair-elect, she's not doing any media. So she turned JBS down, not JBS. She doesn't want to do media. The sad thing is, as a result, I don't get a chance to present her to you. You don't have a chance to get to know who she is. But Mort Klein, who is the leader of the ZOA, Zionist Organization of America, an absolute right-leaning organization, has taken a big hit for saying, Jonathan, no more than you have said. And I want you to speak now to the issue. What do you think is behind the extent to which there has been fury, so much fury, and you address this in your piece? There are people who are now asking for the removal of ZOA from the conference entirely, which to me is just shocking. But I want you to, from your perspective, what's really going on here?
Well, there are two things. You know, it's sort of short-term, long-term. And then there's the broader picture of where this fits into American Jewry and American society itself. Now, we should give some credit to CAMRA, the Committee on, the Media Monitoring Group. They were also very strong on this issue as well, alongside the ZOA.
Yes, but, and people are suggesting they get bounced also.
Yeah. Now, there are two layers to this in terms of the conference itself. One is that once the committee named Diane Loeb, everybody assumed, even though she was a surprise, that she'd just be rubber stamped the way every single other chairman of the conference has ever been. You know, there's never been a vote for chairman of the conference before this. Every previous leader has been unanimously ratified. So the fact that anybody was willing to sort of break with this idea of consensus and to actually force a vote caused a lot of bad feeling on the part of Hayas and other and its allies.
Are you aware that the nominating committee, which has always made a unanimous recommendation to the conference as a whole, this time insisted on having the vote come in as the vote was in the nominating commission, which was a split vote?
Yes.
That was also a dramatic departure. It already said something, Jonathan, about how the nominating committee felt about this choice. It wasn't simply that in the plenary there was, for the first time, some resistance. The resistance began in the nominating committee.
That's very true. That was another first. So once that happened, then both CAMRA and ZOA began lobbying, making its case, and making its case in a way that really upset Hayas and left him, that they said basically Hayas, you know, whatever it once was, is no longer really certainly not a pro-Israel organization or even a Jewish organization.
Right.
They were vocal in terms of the lack of qualifications. They really mussed up our hair and in a way that was very unusual. So, but it's more than that. When you speak of Mort Klein and the anger that he provokes on the left-wing members of the conference, this goes back 20, 25 years. Back to when, for the longest time, Mort Klein and Abe Foxman of the ADL were dueling. There was an angry relations between COA, which was pushing for, its agenda, and people pushing back. Some of it was personal, let's be honest. We're reporters here. Some people don't like Klein. They don't like his manner. They think he's too brash. He's too vocal.
Absolutely.
He's too combative. And on the other hand, the members of the Jewish establishment were criticized by people on the right for their lack of strong stance.
Exactly.
Keeping
right.
That organization together has been a major tour de force by Malcolm Holmlein. It's not so easy. But he managed it until now. But this open battle over Diane Loeb sort of broke into the open things that had been simmering for a very long time. And more to the point, they are not merely Jewish arguments. These are American political arguments. This is politics in the age of Trump, boiled down, right versus left. And as I wrote in the piece in Commentary and in some other articles I wrote about this in JNS, the question isn't, whether Diane Loeb is really qualified or how the direction of the organization. It's whether it's really possible for there to be any umbrella Jewish organization that can hold these disparate groups together anymore. The fact is, it may not be possible for, on the one hand, an ardently pro-Israel, avowedly right-wing, sympathetic, sympathetic to Trump, and not very positive about mass immigration to the United States organization like ZOA, to coexist with an avowedly left-wing, anti-Trump resistance group, which is not ardently Zionist, like Hayas, and the two groups of allies. Can those two groups actually coexist within the same group? Well, in the past, we always assumed that the common values of Jewish heritage, of support for Israel, always trumped everything else. The Jewish groups had more in common than they had that separated them.
Yes.
That may no longer be true, just as it's true in the United States as a whole, where we are basically a bifurcated nation, where people no longer read, listen, or watch the same media and have two different sets of facts and two different sets of opinions about everything.
Yes.
They fight about everything and never the twain shall meet. And, you know, people on the left think Trump is an illegitimate president, and the people on the right think his opponents are not legitimate. The suspicion and anger is so deep. These are two warring tribes. Now that has now transferred itself over to the Jewish world, even into the alphabet soup of Jewish organizations, the so-called major Jewish organizations in the conference, many of which are not major. A lot of them are a cadre of donors, and a couple of professionals and a mailing list. The notion of major is it's a very liberal, shall we say, definition of major. But the point is, even these groups are now lining up against each other the way all Americans are lining up against each other. And the whole concept of an umbrella group based on common values is really in question. Okay. And this fight is just the symptom.
Okay. You make this point so well and so clear. I believe ZOA has taken no position on general immigration to the United States, but that's a separate issue. It definitely is, ZOA is definitely pro-Trump, and that makes it the enemy of anybody who's anti-Trump. That's the way, you're correct, and that's the way our community now works. The question, however, here is, and again, we only have about a minute left, I don't see anything Mort Klein is saying that is wrong. And one of the points you're making is, you've made it very well, Hayas is no longer a Jewish advocacy organization. So that when you talk about an umbrella organization that brings together various organizations with various perspectives that have one common bond, advocacy for Israel, Hayas falls outside of that, Jonathan. And it seems to me that that is a threat as well to the existence of the presidents of Congress.
I think that's very true, Mark. But just to update you, they say that Klein, by saying that Hayas is bringing over sort of mass immigration from Muslim countries where most of the immigrants are likely to be anti-Semitic, Rabbi Rick Jacobs of the Union of Reform Judaism says that makes him an Islamophobe. And just in the last couple of days, to update this, bear with me, Jacobs is now, and the Reform movement and Hayas wants to oust ZOA. Wants to oust Hayas. That has been updated in the last couple of days, where Jacobs is saying, because Klein has said he opposes Black Lives Matter because of its anti-Zionist connections, that makes him a racist as well as an Islamophobe. So it's the warfare has escalated. Yes. So that basically the left is attempting, as they say in social media, to cancel ZOA and Klein, to read him out of the Jewish community for politically correct views, even though the argument is about a Jewish group, Hayas, that is really not really involved in Jewish affairs itself.
You have said this so well, and I want to follow this with you. The story is not over. I hope you'll let me talk to you again when we know a little bit, when the next step is taken. You have given this, you have drawn this so well with such insight. You're doing fabulous work with JNS. You've done fabulous work your whole life. It's always wonderful to have you on JBS. You haven't been on for a while. You got to be on as much as possible. In the meantime, kol tuva hatzlacha. You stay safe. You stay well. And we'll talk again very soon.
Thanks very much.
You be well. The thoughts of Jonathan Tobin, who again is now heading JNS, the Jewish News Syndicate, a superb source of online news and opinion. I recommend it to all of you. Anyone who cares about Jewish life today should be receiving JNS. My thanks, as always, to our director, Sloan Copeland, JBS's managing director, Dara Gollum, transmission manager, John McDevitt, and to the producer of In the News, Carol Lilienthal. Until the next time, I'm Mark Gollum. Stay safe and be well, my friends.